Take your Bibles, if you will, once again to the book of John. And finally, we're into chapter 13. John chapter 13. We know that Veterans Day was just a couple of days ago, and we are very thankful for the men and the women that have served our country. We know that in some cases they were just there because they were a defense and just simply being in the armed forces. But for some, they actually saw battle and life was being threatened. We know just recently that D-Day was again celebrated, and we think about those young men. But we thank those who were willing to serve. And if you were a man or a woman that served in our armed forces, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and even Coast Guard, would you please stand at this time? You served in our forces. Would we see 1, 2, 3, 4? Okay, 5. Okay. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Thank you. I would like to be able to tell you that we're going to give you a $10,000 check. Thank you so very much for your willingness. If you volunteered or if you were drafted, thank you for going. Let us stand together. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 5 is where we're going to begin reading. The title of our sermon today is He Loved Them Unto the End. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ loves you? Now, I'm going to tell you something. He loves us more than we ever love him. It says in verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, we thank you for your love that sent the Son. And Lord, we thank you for the Son who loved us and was willing to die for us. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that guides and directs and comforts. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God that gives us the knowledge and instructions that we need. We thank you for the church that proclaims the Word of God and salvation. Lord, we thank you for each one that is here today. And Lord, we know that there are some with burdens upon their hearts. And we know that there are some that are recovering from surgeries. And Lord, we know there are some that are grieving. Lord, be with them, especially today, but Lord, especially for that one that does not know thee as Savior. We ask, Lord, that that one would accept thee today. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. In your mind's eye, I want you to see that Jesus realizes that his time is coming to an end. And I want you to see Jesus telling his disciples to prepare for the Passover. Now, Jesus was not a dictator, but he was their ruler. He was their master. And let me read to you from the book of Matthew chapter 26, and I'll begin reading at 17. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Again, let me read to you from the book of Mark, chapter 14, beginning at verse 12. And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall you meet a man bearing a pitcher of water, follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared, there make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. We could also take you to the book of Luke chapter 22, and again it would say that the master said, where is the great chamber, the guest chamber? The Gospels, though telling the same story, tell it differently with distinct and special details. And here in our opening reading in John chapter 13, verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, John doesn't give us the same thinkings as Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But we find that it is a special verse because now before the feast of the Passover, before, may I ask you this, before you die, have you made yourself ready to meet the Maker? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? You say, before I die, yes, one out of one dies, and we are all going to die. Have you prepared yourself? We went to Ohio to go to the men's meeting, and we prepared to go down there. We made sure that the car was ready. I had the oil changed, and we put in a new battery, and the car was packed, and we headed south on I-75, and we prepared to go. You make sure that your clothes are packed. And in my case, I make sure that I have my vitamins and a couple of prescriptions. And we had our Bibles and we prepared. Are you prepared to meet the Maker? Now, if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, is your life living, showing that you are a believer in Jesus Christ? Jesus, knowing what was happening, and before the feast of the Passover, he made things ready. The order of the events on that night of Passover supper appear to be in this order. These are what happened on this last Passover for Jesus. Number one, the taking of our Lord and his disciples of their places at the table. Now, you know they did not sit at a table like we do. They did not have chairs like us. They had low tables. They would get down on pillows that went around the table, and they would put their feet behind them, and they would kind of lean on one arm, and they would eat, usually with their fingers. And so they're prepared. There was a contention who should be greatest. Now, that's a terrible thing as to who will be the greatest. And maybe that is why Jesus is going to wash the feet of the disciples. Because the feet washing next would happen. There was the identification of Judas Iscariot as the traitor. There is then the withdrawal of Judas. There is the institution of the Lord's Supper. I think it's important that we realize that Judas left before the Lord's Supper was given. The Lord's Supper is for believers. We find that there are the words of Jesus while still in the room. And then there are the words of Jesus between the room and the garden. And then there is the agony in the garden. There is the betrayal and the arrest of Jesus in the garden. And then Jesus before Caiaphas and then Peter's denial. All of these happened on that day. We note the phrase, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Jesus knew. How many of you have had surgery? You've had surgery of one time or another. Maybe you had your tonsils removed, or maybe you had your big toe, the toenail trimmed. Isn't that terrible to have an ingrown toenail? Oh, yes. But you're ready for the surgery. Maybe you've had your gallbladder out, or maybe you've had some cancer surgery, and you are getting ready, and you're watching the clock. What is the last thing you want to have happen? You don't want them to come in and say, well, the doctor's lost, we can't find him. Or the doctor is, not here yet. I remember when my mother was going to have some surgery, and they said, the doctor's in the building. That's always a good thing, right? Yes. But you're getting prepared for that surgery. Jesus was getting prepared to die. And yet he was still taking time to show love and compassion to his disciples. He knows he's going to die. He knows what he's going to go through for you and for me. And he is patiently talking to them, preparing them, encouraging them. He is instructing them because there's so much they need to know. He knew his time was short. And he knew that those that he loved would be left behind. Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world. Jesus knew it was time. For the reason for Jesus coming to earth was to fulfill the needs of our supreme sacrifice. Thousands of cows and sheep and birds had been sacrificed as a type and symbol of the one true sacrifice. Jesus was just hours from his arrest, from his trials, from his beatings, from the crucifixion, from the death and burial. But more importantly, Jesus was about to bear the sins of mankind upon himself. Now I want you to ponder this. How many people do you think have lived from Adam to you? There are billions now in our world today, right? And how many have lived through the 6,000 years of history? And Jesus died for the sins of mankind. May I say this, not all will accept him. But he died so that we could be saved, you and me, every one of us. He died for us. Is it any wonder that he cried out in emotional agony, let this cup pass from me. He who was perfect was suddenly going to bear Palma Donna's sins. And not only Palma Donna's, but your sins. And the sins of those who have lived before us. And the sins of those who are coming behind us. He died so that we could have salvation. Please note these precious words. Having loved his own which were in the world. We are in the world. We are in a society that is sin sick and dying and going to hell. But he still loves us. And we are to tell others about Jesus Christ. We're to show them how they can come to know the Lord as Savior. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We see here in Jesus preparing to die is that we see this love without limits. Love without limits. Jesus gave everything and he keeps on giving. He loves us. A love that I don't totally understand. A love that you probably don't understand. But it says here, he loved them unto the end. Nothing was going to stop his love. What's that little song? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. He loves us. in verses 2 and 4 through 4. Let us read it once again. And supper being ended. Now, there is a space of time between verses 1 and 2. But supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Supper is ended. I was asked the other day if I knew that turkey probably wasn't on the menu of the first Thanksgiving. And I was appalled. Then I looked at Rudy, who had asked the question, and I thought, okay, is he being serious? And then he said, the first Thanksgiving they had venison and waterfowl. Venison. How many of you would like to have venison for Thanksgiving? I see two hands, three hands. How about waterfowl? I see two hands. Rudy keeps raising his hand. Yes. Excuse me? Rudy eats anything. I don't know about that. But supper is ended. I remember this. I used to think this was so gross. We would go to my mother's parents' house for holidays, and they would have oysters. Were they raw oysters or cooked oysters? Do you remember, Dad? He doesn't remember. Does it matter if they're cooked or raw? How many of you want oysters? I see four hands. Okay. Five hands. I know what we're not having for Thanksgiving. Supper is ended. It's getting closer for the time in which Jesus is going to the garden with his disciples, which means that he's going to be arrested. He's going to be put through trials. He's going to be beaten. It's hours away. The devil having put within Judas to betray the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Oh, the love of money is the root of all evil. Again, Jesus, knowing what needed to be done, knowing it would please the Heavenly Father, whom he would soon be with, rises. Now, I've told you, when you're sitting in that period of time around the table, when one person gets up, it's a little inconvenient for others. And so when he gets up, there's curiosity. I mean, whatever Jesus did, it would create curiosity. He removed his outer garment, and he takes a towel and he wraps himself in it, ready to wash his disciples' feet. May I say this? Jesus, if nothing else, was controversial. Jesus created people's wondering as to, do we really have to do what he does? Notice verse 5. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. See here, your master has gotten up, he's removed his robe, he has taken a towel and he's wrapped it around himself, he's gotten a basin of water, and he comes to one of the disciples and he begins to wash their feet. Now, where are their feet? Behind them, right? They're not under the table like we would have, they're behind them. And he gets behind one and he begins to wash the feet. Maybe it was Bartholomew. Maybe it was Simon the Zealot. Maybe it was Andrew. We're not told, but when he gets to Peter, oh, you know how Peter is. Peter always has something to say. Verse 6. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know it hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. This isn't going to happen, Jesus. You're too good to wash my feet. You're the master. You're the Lord. You're the rabbi. You're the teacher. No, this can't happen. See, it was customary for a servant to wash the feet of the guests. Well, we know that they wore sandals, and we know that the roads were dirty, and so when they would get into a house, the feet were washed by servants. And Jesus doing this made them uncomfortable. But why was Jesus doing this? See, they had been arguing about who was the greatest amongst them. No, is Peter the greatest, or John, or James, or Andrew? Who is the one that is going to be remembered as being the top dog? May I say that still happens in our society? Who's going to be the top dog? Who is going to be the one with the name? And so we find that they begin to complain and tell Jesus that this is not going to happen. But in the time allowing, let me give you 4 points. Remember this, is Christ's last token of love before the cross. He loves them, and he is going to do something to show them his love. What he did, he arose from the supper and took a towel and began to wash his disciples' feet. In other words, he humbled himself. Because that's what servants do. He humbled himself. Have you ever noticed that Jesus in the Gospels is always surrounded by the lower class people? Jesus Christ, when he came and was born, the angels didn't go to the palace, did they? Where did they go? To the shepherds. Why is that? Because it shows us that anybody can come to the Lord. If he had gone to the palace, then only those who were rich would think, well, we can go to him, not to the poor. When did he do it? When he knew that his hour was come, that he should depart. A last act of love, a last act of humility, showing his disciples that to be his servants, we must be willing to be humble. And may I say this, is very difficult in our society to be humble. How did he do it? He did it lovingly. Have you ever done something grumbling? Okay. Maybe you didn't understand the question. Have you ever done something grumbling? Some of you have never grumbled in your life. I better sit down. You need another pastor. I'll be honest with you. Do you know there's some Sundays I've preached that I've grumbled to myself? Just so you know. Human nature, thank you. Yes. Grumbling. We grumble because, oh, I love that person. I care for that person. And they've asked me to do something, and I don't want to do it. Let me give you an example. Paul, will you take the dogs out? They're not my dogs. Your dogs. Why don't you take care of them yourself? They say you do that every time you're asked to take the dogs out. No. But I've done it at least once. This month. You say, Pastor Paul, why do you grumble? Well, we've been told it's human nature. That just because I love doesn't mean I really want to serve. And yet Jesus wants us to serve. He wants us to humble. I can see it now. I'm going to get home and Donna's going to say, will you take the dogs out? He did it lovingly. Lovingly. Why did he do it? As an example. Jesus, who was both their teacher and Lord, humbled himself to give us an example of the attitude we need to adopt toward others in the Christian community. Keeping your place here in the book of John, quickly turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And how often we grumble because someone else gets a position that we wanted and we are given another position. But the fact of the matter is we need to be willing to humble ourselves. Are you in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he what? He humbled himself. Underline that verse in your Bible. Underline that verse on your tablet. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What if Jesus had said, no, you do it. I don't want to go down with those people. I know what they're going to do to me. Well, let's send one of the angels. Let's send Gabriel or Michael or one of the other angels. Well, let them do it. No. Jesus, before the foundations of the world, knew that he would have to die. He humbled himself to do this. One writer has said, our only competition should be to see who can better serve others. The only competition would be to see who does it with a giving heart, a loving heart, a humble heart. Notice verse 15 now, where we were in the book of John. John 13, 15, it says, for I have given you an example. Example of what? To wash each other's feet? No. To be humble one to another. Willing to serve. You say, Pastor Paul, I don't know if I can do that. May I say this? Jesus did it. He humbled himself. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus did not shy away from the task at hand. And if die he must, then die he would. Having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. Shall we stand together? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. A simple song. Some would call a childish song, but a song that is true. He loved us. Do we love him? Are we grateful to him? Are we willing to serve him? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask during this invitation time that the Spirit would move. Lord, make us realize the need of our salvation. And Lord, make us be willing to come to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.